News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
Alex Weiss, Director General of the IIEA, Chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council and former minister, is with us to go through some of the stories hitting the headlines. Morning, Alex.
Morning.
The President is in the news twice today in relation to the Middle East. First of all, what's happening with her sister? Her sister, who is obviously not the President, is on a boat and on a flotilla.
Margaret Connolly is one of a number of people on a flotilla, left the Spanish port of Barcelona last little while and is aiming to try to break the Israeli blockade. I know Margaret Connolly slightly. She's a GP, an activist in Sligo. Obviously, her sister, Catherine Connolly, is President of Ireland. So the other story, I suppose probably the bigger story of the two Connolly sisters, is President Connolly has also been talking about NUI Galway and NUI Galway's need, in the President's view, and I think she's right, to divest to end any research collaboration, so on, with Israel or with Israeli interests. And I think NUI Galway might not be wholly happy with the intervention of the President in this way. But I mean, personally, I agree with the President, agree with her sentiments.
You can agree with her, Alex, but yeah, as President, should she say these things? Well, and I don't mean to take away from the meaning of what she's saying, but as President, people knew what they were electing, but You're not supposed to keep your powder dry.
Well, I'm not one of these people who thinks that a president should just be sitting there saying nothing. And I think that that's unrealistic, you know. And she did go for election. We knew what her views were. But my point here, really, I mean, this doesn't really directly deal with government policy. This has to do with NUI Galway. But I still think that it's probably not all that helpful to actually resolving the issue for the president to intervene in this way. Maybe something quiet that she makes her views known would be okay. I'm on the board of Trinity. We've dealt with the exact same issue and did a very good agreement last year, actually after the student protests, where divestment has been brought forward, and that's what's happening. There's a difficulty when you have existing contracts, though. So when you've got an existing contract which is tied up with EU funding, various different funding streams and so on, very hard to get out of existing contracts, and that's what we acknowledged in Trinity. So I think there's a way of solving this, and I'm not sure if this is necessarily
I wonder that there was the same thing when Michael D entered Ars Nocturna, that you know, the president was testing the boundaries of how far, in his case, he, and in this case, she can go before somebody goes, hang on a second, you've overstepped. Are we seeing a little bit of gamesmanship?
Yeah, it has to do really largely with government questions, with policy questions that are the remit of the government. This is not one of those cases, you know. So I don't think it's as acute of an issue as it would be where a government policy would be involved. But nevertheless, yes, it is a controversial issue. It wasn't just Michael D, and he did push the boundaries. Mary Robinson back 30 years ago was pushing the boundaries and had various tensions with Charlie Haughey, as Taoiseach and so on at the time. So I think that we don't need to get too carried away. I'm not one of these people who says the president should go out to the park and say nothing. But, you know, the formation and maintenance of foreign policy in particular is a matter for the government. It's not a matter for the president.
Prison officers are having their annual conference. I didn't realise how busy the prisons were. And they're sounding an alarm that they're going to get busier and that there's going to be more problems as a result of that. Prison isn't a pleasant place. It's getting a lot less pleasant.
When I was Minister for Drugs in the Department of Health 12 years ago, I went into Mountjoy on a visit. I was taken aside by the then head of the prison service, Michael Donnellan. He sat me down, just the two of us, and he said, Minister, he put it that way, he said, we are here in Mountjoy Prison, which is the dumping ground for every social and societal problem that exists in our country. This is what happens behind these gates. It's, you know, society doesn't want to know. There are people put away, sent away, the old story, lock them up and throw away the key, all of that. And they're deep, deep problems in our prisons because they're reflective of really deep problems broadly in our society. And this is, I'm not saying that the Prison Officers Association aren't correct, that we don't need more facilities, more services, you know, more attention paid, particularly to mental health issues and so on in the prisons. And overcrowding is manifestly, that's a huge thing. But this is a problem for all of us. Yeah. You know, this is an issue that we all should understand and think through. How do we regard our prisons? Why do we regard our prisons as a place just to forget about problems that are actually in our midst? And I think that's a real question, a broader sort of, if you like, political and societal question that we just haven't faced up to.
There's one great story for the Irish mammies who are listening this morning, worried about their loved ones scattered around the world as they are. One third of the Irish diaspora wants to come home, which is great news for mammies because they don't like them over there in Melbourne. It's very far away.
That's right. And even for daddies as well, as being one myself, as somebody who's living abroad, it's good news. It kind of gives a little bit of the lie to this notion that you sometimes see, that people want to leave and never come back. And, you know, Ireland's a kip, exactly. And, you know, there's nothing to be had here. So people do want to come up, they come back. They aspire to coming back. And I think this is an interesting story, of course, spread all around the world, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, traditionally the US. So a lot of people want to come back. The biggest problem for them, I think, is housing, because that's the single big. If you're, for example, you start a family, if you go to the UK, America, wherever, and start a family, it's a big challenge, the idea of coming back to Ireland and finding somewhere to live. The cost alone is huge. So, but I think it's an interesting story that just it's a much more subtle, more nuanced discussion that we need to have about emigration and re-immigration to Ireland.
But it was always thus, though. I mean, Alex, you and I, it's not our first go on the merry-go-round. We've seen what this is like. And yes, you do lose certain people who, they might marry someone in Australia who's Australian, but if you end up marrying an Irish person in Australia, the two of you most likely will want to come back at some stage. It's a little cyclical, isn't it? That's what we've always done here.
Absolutely agree with you. It's always been the case that Irish people have gone abroad. We know that going back, you know, the decades and the centuries even. Some people go even when they don't have to go, as it were. They're not forced to go. They want to go. They want to try new opportunities. They want to maybe expand their horizons, their education, whatever it is. And then they reach a point maybe where they decide they'd like to come back. Others will leave and not come back. You know, so you're right. It's a complete variety of different people. But I think this story tells us that it's a more complex phenomenon than we have allowed.
Just to finish up, the Late Late Show. He's been there 2 years. I like Paddy Keelty. I enjoy Paddy Keelty on the Late Late Show. But there's this kind of uncertainty, and when you hear about uncertainty, you're always going, "Well, what's behind it?" Mm. I mean, is there a question whether Paddy Keelty will be presenting the Late Late Show in the new season?
Well, there is talk, as they say in the media, that there's uncertainty about whether he's going to sign a new contract.
But there's always uncertainty in RTE. That's just the nature of RTE.
Of course, there's always uncertainty around when it comes up to contract time, because there might be little bits of, I'm not suggesting is the case here, but dancing around it and so on, and people have to look out for their own interests, and that's understandable, including RTE. But I think there's a bigger question here about the Late Late Show and where the Late Late Show is really going. I mean, you know, when it was at its zenith and when it was so popular, Gay Byrne, for example, was presenting it. You know, it was a different country. The past is a different country for us here. Like, it was entirely different. It was more homogenous. You know, everything happened on the Late Late Show. Literally everything. Every debate, every discussion, every fight, every row happened on the Late Late Show.
There was an element of current affairs about the Late Show.
There was. And your sort of so-called water cooler moments on Monday and so on, usually about what had been said or not said. The world has completely changed. And I actually feel for anybody who has had to step into the shoes of Gay Byrne. I mean, Pat did it very well, Ryan Turbidy and so on. But it's just not possible. There isn't another Gay Byrne. There isn't a Late Late Show.
For that type of show, though?
I think there's an appetite for discussion and debate still and argument, but I don't know if there's an appetite for this a programme that tries to do everything, you know, that sells the latest book, sells that, you know, brings in the sort of the actors from the soaps, you know, has music acts, and so on. This kind of mix that we, as it were, they got away with for decades, I'm not sure if you get away with that now. I think it probably has kind of lost its way. And if I was pushed, I would actually be on the side to put it out of its misery.
Oh,
to say,
Alex,
this day.
White.
I would take it down and I would look to see what are the other... I mean, if you even think of somebody as talented as Patrick Keelty...
What more could you be doing with
yourself,
that,
Jonathan? People have to build programmes around the talent that they
but
have.
But you saw what...
You can't just always just have a programme and say, oh, we'll find something.
But look what Tommy Tiernan has done, admittedly, on a Saturday night, a slot that RTE always struggled with.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have this incredible new zeitgeisty thing that works online, works on TV. You know, there are options out there.
Yeah, that's
true.
That certainly has worked. There's no question. That's a great programme. But the catch-all... a program that tries to do everything, that's looking backwards in terms of its zeitgeist, is that the word you used? But still looking to the present and to the future with the new world that we live in, the complexity of the world and so on, I think it's probably had its time.
Okay, might be a bit late for the Late Late Show. Alex White, thank you very much as always.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.